In the name of Jesus, God from true God, light from light eternal, only begotten Son of God the Father. Merry Christmas. When I was a kid, this isn't going to surprise you. Obviously, one of the best parts of Christmas was Christmas break. The longest period off of school in the entire school year. And if you have some version of that as an adult, maybe you've got kids who are school age, you're kind of feeling that right now. When the daily rhythm just slows down a tiny bit and once school lets out, you can just do whatever you want. And as an adult, what that looks like for me is catching up on some of the projects that have been piling up to this point in the year. And you know what? Sometimes I even get to catch up on projects I didn't even know about. And I've been trying to describe like what it's like when I see those projects coming on. And I'm sure this isn't the best way to say it, but this is the best I could do. It's kind of like an ocean on a storm, and like I'm a sea captain reading the sea. And because it starts out small, right? There's the calm of break. And then it's just like, you know, honey, can you hang this hook? And can you move this picture from here to here? And then it's the deep cleaning and the extra Christmas decorations. But it doesn't stop there, because when my wife, Kate, gets into this mode, it really is kind of like a perfect storm. Because it always ends up with rearranging the furniture. Now, already in the past week or couple of weeks, we have moved the shelves, the big shelves from the attic down to the main floor. We've rearranged the kids' bedroom. And the biggest and most dramatic change was all of our furniture that used to be in our dining room is now in our living room. And all the furniture that used to be in our living room is in our dining room. And later on today, I think we might be tackling the kitchen. Now, I actually think that like rearranging the furniture might be our most enduring Christmas tradition. And I also want to say, like, I've been apologizing to Kate for days that I couldn't find a more complimentary way of explaining this. But I want to say this really clearly. I actually love it. I love it. It's lots of fun. She sees things in a way that I don't see. She envisions things that I can't. And it always ends up being better than it was before. And it took me until now, really. We've been married almost 10 years now. We're coming up on 10 years. And I don't think it took me the entire 10 years to figure this out, but I think I can explain why she is the way that she is, why this is so important that we're constantly like rearranging. It's because Kate is a TCK. Now, if you know what that is, you're nodding like, oh yeah, totally, that makes sense. But TCK means third culture kid. It's a term for kids who grow up in a different culture than that of their parents. In Kate's case, it was because when she was born, her dad was a missionary in Japan. So she grew up blending Japanese culture with American culture. And so even though she's intimately connected with both, grew up in a way that's not really a part of either. It's your own third culture sort of in the middle. And so TCKs, by necessity, sort of learn to adapt constantly. I'll just give you one example. Imagine Christmas in a country like Japan where only 1% of the population identifies as Christian. Christmas is recognized, but it's kind of on par with how we would see Halloween or Valentine's Day. So maybe you can sort of understand how Christian parents might sort of go into overdrive on the traditions, on the food, on the movies, on the music, because you want to make sure that your kids don't miss out on anything. Not one thing that made Christmas special for you when you were a kid. And it wasn't just in the family, it was also at church. Because when the church family would come together on Christmas Eve, instead of going home afterwards, right after the service, they'd set up the tables and they'd get out the food and they'd have a potluck and fellowship that would last for hours, sometimes until midnight. Because this is your real family. And this is your only Christmas celebration, and guess what? Tomorrow, everything goes back to normal. You're going back to work. No one takes the day off for Christmas. You're going back into a world where only 99% of the people don't know who Jesus is. Now, that's just one day out of the year, that abrupt shift from one to the other, but TCKs grow up with this as their normal, abruptly shifting between languages and mannerisms and expectations, casually slipping from one culture to another, kind of like you and I might change clothes. And so sometimes they're called cultural chameleons or global nomads. And for some, like the one I married, they sort of take this on like a superpower. At least that's how it seems to me. They grow up without any kind of fear of change, without fear of the unknown, without habits or inertia or comfortability weighing them down and keeping them in the past, because they know that new doesn't necessarily mean bad. And they have this deep and unstoppable desire for things to get better, not just for themselves, but for those that they love. And sometimes that leads them to develop like powerful vision statements or put together a comprehensive strategic plan for a huge organization. And sometimes it means swapping out the furniture between your living room and your dining room. And you know how I figured this out? I had to go there. I had to see it for myself. I had to experience the culture shock and see how hard it was for me to leave one place and go to another and experiencing everything that's different, and also at the same time seeing how easy it was for her. And I tell you all this because you can get to know someone by listening to what they say or by observing what they do and seeing them live out their values. But if you really want to know someone, if you really want to know their heart, in a way that you can interpret everything else about them, you've got to know where they come from. And so let me ask you, where do you come from? And I don't just mean where you were born or where you grew up or where your parents come from, but where do you fit? Where do you feel like people get you? And if you don't have that, if you don't have a place where you feel understood, what would people need to know about your origin story to understand you? That's an important question. Where are you from? Now, how do you think Jesus would have answered that question? Where are you from? And he might have said, you know, Capernaum, that was his base of ministry as an adult. Or Bethlehem, that's where he was born. That's where he could trace back his ancestry to the town of David, even back before David, to Boaz and Ruth. Now, Mark 6 actually calls Nazareth his hometown, but even there, people didn't see him as one of them. They didn't accept him. When he went there with his disciples once, he went to Nazareth, and he taught with wisdom, and he performed miracles and showed his power. They said, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? See, they thought that they knew him because they thought they knew that where he was from, but they really didn't. They didn't know him at all. And this is kind of the tragedy of the secularized Christmas of a secularized world, not just that God is unknown, but because of the firm belief that he actually already is known and that he's just not that great. Not a new idea, of course. The idea goes back as a formalized system of thought, even as far back as the 5th century BC. There was this Greek philosopher, and his name was Heraclitus. If you don't know his name, you do know his most common saying, you can't step into the same river twice. In other words, you can't go back home. You can't go back to the same place because it's not going to be the same. And a lot of people experience that this time of year. Like if you went back home, if you stepped into your childhood bedroom, and even if somehow it was completely untouched, it wouldn't feel the same. It'd be smaller. It'd be familiar, but still kind of unfamiliar. Heraclitus had a different saying, one that you probably haven't heard, but it tells you a lot more clearly how he saw the world. He said, listening not to me, but to the Logos, it's wise to agree that all things are one. A Logos is a Greek word that's usually translated as word. I left it untranslated for you because it's actually a much bigger concept than that. See, as Heraclitus saw it, it was like this cosmic force. It was the creative mind of the universe. Maybe something sort of like we'd say like the laws of nature. And to him, it explained how even though we might constantly experience change and it might seem random and disconnected as we make our way through life, but to him, he said there was a unity to it. There's a coherence to it, and the logos explains how things that even might appear sort of chaotic and disorderly are actually orderly. They're part of a system. If only you could see it. If you could see it, it all kind of makes sense. You'd finally know why things are the way they are. And it was 600 years after that, after Heraclitus, in the same region, a place called Ephesus, to a lot of the same kinds of Greek people and Greek thinkers, the Apostle John wrote his gospel. And unlike the other gospels that began with historical accounts and lineages, John started at the very beginning. He said, you want to know about the Logos? He said, we met him. We met him, and he's not an impersonal force. He's not a set of principles. He's a person. The Logos, the Word made flesh, a personal God who came into the world in the man Jesus. And you can actually know him too. And to know Christ, to really know him, to believe in him, you have to know where he's from. And that's why he started at the beginning. He said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. It's no coincidence that the first words of John's gospel echo the first words of the Bible. In the beginning, before God spoke the world into existence, the Word was. And everything that came into existence, it came through him. He's the life. He's the light of all mankind. True light shone into a dark world that didn't know him, didn't want to know him. But the Word became flesh. He lived here among us. And to those who receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. This is the heart of the Christmas message. This is what we have to know. Because what we're celebrating at this time of year is the God who always was, who's infinite, unending, all-powerful, all-knowing, unchanging, the creator of the universe chose to step into his own creation and become a baby so that the God whose glory is impossible to see could be seen. In Jesus, the God who cannot be known is known. And he came to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, live an entire human life of perfect righteousness so he could experience for us what he wasn't willing to let us experience. And he went to the cross and he faced the absolute horror of not being known by God. And in his resurrection, he proved that we are now known and we are accepted. So today of all days, just step up to the manger and peek over the side and let it strike you as if for the very first time that this little baby, 10 little fingers, 10 little toes, is God. Comes so close to you that you can actually know him, the infinite God, become an infant so that he could bring you into his own family, to make room for you in a home that's familiar even though you've never been there. A place where you are known with a God who made himself known to you. The prologue of St. John illuminates the incarnation. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God. We pray. Heavenly Father, on this day of joy and wonder, we gather to marvel at the depth of your love. You sent your Son, the eternal Word made flesh, to dwell among us, bringing light to our darkness and hope to our despair. The baby in the manger reminds us that you did not stay distant, but stepped into our brokenness to rescue us. We praise you for this immeasurable gift. Thank you for a Savior who knows our every struggle, who lived a perfect life in our place, and who willingly bore the weight of our sin so that we might be reconciled to you. Let this truth fill our hearts with gratitude, and may the light of Christ shine in us and through us to a world longing for peace and redemption. And as we celebrate with family and friends, help us to hold on to the wonder of this day, that you, O Lord, became one of us so we could know you and be known by you. Be with those who feel alone today and show us how to include others in our homes and lives. Make us more aware of those who are struggling. Help us to share what we have with generous hearts. And let the good news of great joy bring us comfort and courage to live each day as your redeemed children. In the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh, we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a production of St. Marcus Ministries. For similar content, subscribe to our St. Marcus Church YouTube channel or follow us on Facebook. If you're seeking ways to grow, serve, or give, download the Church Center app and add St. Marcus as your church. There, you can submit private prayer requests, receive weekly news updates, and more. If you enjoy these messages, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thank you for listening, and God bless.